review, we spoke about Yontif Sheni Shagolios. The takana of Yontif Sheni Shagolios, so a formal takana, it didn't seem like it originally was that way. Originally, the practice in Chutz Laretz, originally, the way Yontif Sheni Shagolios worked was everything was based on your knowledge, what you knew and what you didn't know. If you lived in a place where, and you knew, so you kept one day. If you didn't know, you kept 2 days. You clearly kept 2 days only misafek. It was the only reason you were keeping 2 days, because you didn't know. There was no formal halacha to keep 2 days. It's just that's what you do when you don't know what day is Yontif. So because they didn't know, they had to keep 2 days. When they would find out, they would keep 1 day. So if they came to Eretz Yisrael on vacation, of course they would keep 1 day. Because they know. However, Shalchu mitam hisharu b'minog avoseichem b'yodeichem. There was a takana made, middle of the time period of the Amoraim, a formal takana of Chazal, that everyone should keep from now on, as a formal takana, what they've been keeping until now. Which means that the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael would continue to keep 1 day, because they knew. And the Jews in Chutz Laretz, and right around this time, the calendar was created by Hillel Hasheni, grandson or great-grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, so a few generations into the Amoraim. Right around this time, they stopped doing it al pi ha-re'iyah, as the Rambam tells us in the times of Rava and Abaye. They switched to a calendar, and now, 1 day, as opposed to 2 days, this is now a formal takana. 2 days is no longer being kept misafik. The hare, there's a calendar. They know which day is the 15th of Nisan. And yet they kept 2 days of Pesach because hisaru bin minag avoseichem b'yodeichem, which means it's no longer misafik. It's now, both days are considered yontif. Now the second, the first day is d'oraisa, the second day is only d'rabbanon, but it's not misafik. So seemingly a nafkamina would be that if an egg is laid on the first day, it's still going to be yasser on the second day. When it was misafek, we could play a mimanafshach and say, listen, one of the days is clearly chol. Now, it's not that one of the days is clearly chol. One day is clearly d'oraisa. One day is clearly midrabanan. 1 second. Now, where was, and now at this point, seemingly, if you were from Chutz Laretz and you found out when the real day was, it didn't make a difference. You weren't keeping 2 days because of a suffix. One of the days is a din d'rabbanan. They created a din d'rabbanan. And therefore, you have to keep 2 days. Now, where did they make this takana of 2 days? That everyone now has to keep 2 days. So, when you look in the Rambam writes that it was based on the minog, and the minog was based on where the shlichim arrived. Where did the messengers of Beis Din arrive? The messengers of Beis Din were only able to travel 10 days in Tishrei, right? In Nisan, they had a little bit more time. Tishrei, they had those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah when they didn't travel, and Shabbos, and Yom Kippur. So they only had 10 days to travel. So the Rambam writes, criteria number one is you have to be within a 10-day travel of Yerushalayim. Now, 10-day travel nowadays is the whole globe, right? You can, with a plane, you can get anywhere in 10 days. As long as they're flights. But you can get anywhere. That's not what we mean. We mean where was a 10-day travel back then? Because our minog is to keep what they did back then. So number one, you have to be within a 10-day travel. And number two, you have to be in an area where there was a Jewish settlement. Because areas where there were no Jewish settlements, the Shlichim didn't just randomly go crisscross the desert and just announce to everyone what day is Rosh Hashanah. They went to the cities. They went to the communities. And therefore, you have to be in a place where there was a community. And that means that it's not based on Eretz Yisrael per se, as opposed to Chutz Laretz. It's going to be dependent on being within a certain proximity and a place where there were Jews. The Rambam himself is living in Egypt when he writes the Mishnah Torah, and he says, hey, we're within a 10-day travel. Yeah, but there was no Jewish settlement in Egypt at that time. So if there wasn't a Jewish settlement in Egypt at that time, where the shlichim were being sent to, so then the Rambam says that in Egypt we're going to keep 2 days. Now, I'm actually a little bit interested about this Egypt, just as a side note, because there was a mikdash of Chonia. There was a community in Alexandria.
Yeah, the Egyptians.
What was that?
You said it was not like, I mean, it was Jewish.
Right, correct. But there was a community there. I wonder if the Shlichim went there. Okay, anyway, we'll leave that as on the side. The Ritva, however, disagrees with the Rambam. And the Ritva says that it's not based on these criteria of within 10 days and where there's Jewish settlement, but rather it's very much a formal din based on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. Since rove places in Eretz Yisrael knew based on the Shlichim, so therefore one day is the halacha for all of Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz will always be 2 days. Now what's the nafka mina between these two shitas, the Rambam as opposed to the Ritva? Number one, it's going to be new settlements in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes explicitly in the Mishnah Torah that if a new settlement is developed in the desert in Eretz Yisrael, where there was an earlier a settlement there, so they are going to have to keep 2 days because they are not a place that had a minhag to keep 1 day because the shlichim arrived. If you were in that location in the middle of the desert, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they were being Mekadesh al-Pi Ari'iya, you would not know which day was Yontif, because Shlichim did not go to that far-flung place in the desert. Now, how do we paskin l'halacha? So, first of all, there's a great raya for the Ritva. The fact that it's called Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. It's Yontif Sheni of Chutz La'aretz. It's Yontif Sheni of Golos. That makes it sound like it's dependent on Eretz Yisrael versus Golos. Not based on where exactly did the Shlichim get and are you within 10 days. So, how do we paskin like halacha? Most assume that the halacha is like the Ritva, not like the Rambam. Although, in the Sefer Kaftor of Aferach, Rav Eshtoria Parchi, he was a Jew, a Rav from France, who was expelled from France, and went to Eretz Yisrael and wrote a Sefer all about, it was like Lahavdil, like one of these like travelers, like Marco Polo, I think he was one of these travelers, who would go to these different places. You know the game that you play in the pool, Marco Polo? So the original Marco Polo, I think, was a traveler who traveled to lots of different places and kept notes of the different places that he went to. So Lahavdil, we had Rishonim that did that as well. They traveled to different locations. They wrote about the different places that they traveled, what they saw. So the Sefer Kaftor of Aferach, he writes that in the city of Lod, where the airport is nowadays, in the city of Lod, so they kept 1 day. But in the city of Ramla is a city, not Ramallah. There's two cities in Israel. Ramla and Ramallah. Ramla is okay to visit. It happens to be a mixed city. It's Jew and Arab. That's where there were a lot of riots earlier this year, in Ramla. Ramallah, you don't want to visit. Ramallah is the capital of the Palestinian Authority right now. So in Ramla, they kept 2 days. And Ramla and Lod are right next to each other. Very, very, literally right next to each other. So it's interesting that they were keeping 1 day in Lod in the times of the Rishonim, and 2 days in Ramla. They were clearly passing like the Rambam. And that's why there was a place in Eretz Yisrael that was keeping 2 days, because it was a new settlement. The Brisker Rav, the Griz, Rav Yitzchok Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, who was the Rav in Brisk and during the Holocaust escaped and came to Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Yerushalayim. He lived between Ben Yehuda and Mea Sharim, street that you take to walk between the two, Strauss Street. So he lived right off of that. That's where the Brisker Rav lived. And he kept 2 days in Yerushalayim, because modern day Yerushalayim is not ancient Yerushalayim. And he was choshesh that there wasn't a settlement there, and that there weren't shlichim that were going there. Now the Stipler was asked about Bnei Brak. And the Stipler argued, even though we know Bnei Brak is an old city, but we don't know for sure that Bnei Brak was a city in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We do know there was the famous Seder with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and that was right around the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, and that was Tanayim. So they were still being Mekadesh al-Pi Ari'iya at that time. That was a little bit before Rebbe. So they were even lighting the fires at that time. They hadn't even switched to the Shlichim yet. But we don't know for sure that Bnei Brak is exactly the same Bnei Brak that we have today. It's probably in the same vicinity, they think. But they think it was a little bit over from where the current Bnei Brak is. But the Stipler said that it's Pashit, that any city that has expanded, you're not going to have half a city keeping 1 day and half a city keeping 2 days. And he said, for sure, Tel Aviv Yafo, that area was settled on the coast. That we know for sure was settled. So whether Bnei Brak now, your street in Bnei Brak, was settled or not, it's expanded, right? Like those of us who live, I mean, basically everyone here who lives in the United States or in England. So a lot of our cities, I'm just thinking Los Angeles, a lot of the cities where we're from, you know, the city doesn't end. It just like runs into the next city. right? I'll try to like show off right now. Like for LA runs right into, I don't know, I have no idea. LA runs right into what's like the city right next to LA.
LA is just like the whole area.
Uh-huh, okay.
Santa Monica.
Yeah, in Santa Monica, and then it goes into Surfside, and I don't know, I'm just making up names. That's in Florida. That's in Florida, right. Anyway, it goes right into Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, Mulholland Drive, Malibu, right? One runs right into the next one. So too, like, I know where I grew up, in Teaneck, like, Teaneck runs right into Bergenfield, Bergenfield runs right into New Milford runs right into, like, whatever the next town is. That's it, they just run right into the next one. They don't have, like, a wall, and then, like, up 5 miles of desert, and then the next city. It just doesn't work that way. So the Stipler said that Bnei Brak is just an extension of Tel Aviv and Ramat Gan. One just runs right into the other. You know, there's a street that becomes the border between them. So he thought it was for sure, Pashut, that you're going to keep one day. He said, oh, then they asked him. They had the chutzpah to ask him, what about the Briscoe Rav in Yerushalayim? He kept 2 days. So, what? The disciples said, keep one in Bnei Brak, no question. It's all the extension. It's all one huge city. So the fact that there's a border for like the Medina purposes, and that, you know, the taxes might be different, or the water system might be run by a different, it's all one city. You're not going to have some people one block keeping one day, and the next block keeping 2 days. That's ridiculous. So they asked him, what about Yerushalayim? So, the Briscoe Rav. So he didn't want to come out against the Briscoe Rav. He said, maybe there's a difference in Yerushalayim because there was a wall. So maybe the wall, the old city wall, maybe that really separates and makes it into like a totally different area. Well, no, because the city went the other direction. The city went to, you know, like when you're by the Kotel, you see all like those Arabs in front of you. That direction was Yerushalayim. The other way out towards the modern city, that wasn't settled. That certainly for a very long time. It was only, you know, the Mea Shearim was one of the first settlements outside the wall in that direction towards the modern city. You know, and we're talking like 200 years ago. Okay. Eilat is a very interesting discussion because Eilat is really, if you've ever traveled to Eilat, so you basically like leave Be'er Sheva, and you drive for hours and hours through a desert, and you get to a resort city on the whatever it was, the Red Sea, whatever the body of water is there, what?
The bottom,
yeah. The Gulf of Aqaba. That's where you get to Eilat. So Eilat is definitely, even if it's within 10 days, for all we know, there was no settlement there. There's a good reason to think there wasn't a settlement there of Jews. That's number one. Number two, it's definitely not within the borders of biblical Eretz Yisrael. It's definitely outside of the borders of biblical Eretz Yisrael, Eilat. So, and then there are those who live in Eretz Yisrael, don't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, they don't go to Eilat because they feel like they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked about this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman used the same svara that the Stipler used for within a city, and he used it on a country level. He thought it was strange to say that you have one country of Jews, and you're going to have one city that's part of the country, like politically, and to say that they're going to keep 2 days, while every other Jew in the country is keeping one day. He thought it was strange to say such a thing, and he thought that Al Pi Svara, if the din was that in Eretz Yisrael, you keep one day, even if it's not biblical Eretz Yisrael, and even if Trumos and Maestros, for instance, might not apply there, and Shemitah might not apply there, because those are mitzvos that are totally on the Kedushas Aretz, but something like one day, 2 day, he thought that once they're part of the country, that they would keep one day. And he said that, anyway, since we're talking about a suffix on a derabanan, once there's a suffix, he thinks it's enough to be makel and to allow them to keep one day like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So at the end of the day, and then I'll take your question, by the way, Rav Yosher was machmir, to keep 2 days in Eilat. So, Lamaisa, the summary is that if you ask the person in Bavel, hey, why are you keeping 2 days? So, if you asked before the calendar, and before the takana was made, so of his haru, so then he would say, listen, I just don't know. The shlichim don't get here. I don't know which day, so I'm keeping 2 days. Misafek. It's not that one day is derabanan. One day is really chol. If you asked someone in Bavel in the later period of the Amoraim, after the takana, you asked him, why are you keeping 2 days? He would say, because Chazal made a takana to keep 2 days. And that's why, if someone asks you in Chutz Laretz, you're in Chutz Laretz, someone asks you, why are we keeping 2 days? You say, because Chazal made a takana to to keep 2 days based on what the minog was for many, many years. Oh, nowadays we know. You're right, but they made a takana that we should continue the practice of what was done in the past. And the Gemara says, maybe Shema Yachzer Adavar L'Kol Kulo. Correct. Yeah.
It seems like some opinions are just establishing a radius of how far they can make it, and saying that anything in that radius is you keep one day. Like anything in Eretz Yisrael, you keep one day.
Right. Well, the Ritva says, that's the same Zawi Paskin, it's based on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. Correct. And then we get into the debate of, does Eretz Yisrael mean biblical Eretz Yisrael? Does it mean political Eretz Yisrael?
How does he fit that into the Takana?
Because he says that the Takana was, you're right, so he says that you do it based on Rove. That since Rove cities in Eretz Yisrael knew the time, and Rove cities, he said, we're not going to sit there and apply the Takana, go to every single city and do research of, did the Shlichim get there, did they not get there? He said, it makes sense that they made the Takana based on Rove, which is oftentimes Takanas are made that way. So since Rove and Eretz Yisrael knew, that's the din for Eretz Yisrael. Since Rove and Chutz La'aretz did not know, that's the din for Chutz La'aretz.
Also, when they made the Takana, was the calendar, did they already have the calendar?
They made it. That's when the Shlomo Zalman says, I don't know if you noticed it in the Tshuva, he says that he thinks that it was Hillel who made the Takana. The one who made the calendar is the one who made the Takana. It all came together. It came with one shot.
How can they extend Yodo and make it 2 days if they already know that it's not true? Like, they know that the second day is not supposed to be Yodo.
The Gemara asks that question. The Gemara says, Shema Yachzer Adavar L'Kol Kulo. If we would lose the calendar, then we would be back to a suffix situation, and everyone's going to be like, what do you mean? We only kept 1 day last year. I'm not keeping 2 days this year. So since it's all based on having a certain piece of knowledge, and there's a concern that could be in times of persecution, people won't have that knowledge. So therefore, the decision was made to keep it that way. And listen, we have this with a lot of takanos rabbanon, right? You're not supposed to play instruments on Shabbos because you might fix the instrument if it breaks. So what if you say, I have no idea how to fix a guitar? If my guitar breaks, I'm going to stop playing it. I don't know how to fix a guitar. It's not going to happen. Or I'll appoint a shomer next to me that if my guitar breaks, to remind me not to fix it. So, but we don't just say, okay, therefore the takana doesn't apply. If the takana was made, the takana was made. Okay. So now let's talk about someone who travels. Because everything's clear now. If you live in Chutz La'aretz, keep 2 days. Vadai, keep 2 days. And if you live in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day. So good, I live in Chutz La'aretz and I'm visiting Eretz Yisrael. What's the din? So this seems to be a Mishnah Psachim. Mishnah Psachim is talking about doing malacha on Erev Pesach. Now, we don't mean Erev Pesach from Chatzos and on. A lot of people don't know this. From Chatzos and on Erev Pesach, there's a din. You're not allowed to do malacha. You're allowed to do specific things that you might need for Yontif, but things like shaving, for instance, you have to do all that in the morning of Erev Pesach. You can't do it after Chatzos. But what about in the morning? In the morning, there was also different minhagim. Some communities didn't do malacha the whole morning. Some communities only didn't do malacha starting at Chatzos. So what if you traveled from one to the other? So the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah is not the halacha, but the Mishnah says, you have to always be machmir for your own practices and the practices of the place that you're visiting. You keep your own home chumras and the chumras of the local place that you're visiting, but you have to make sure you don't do things in public that are going to cause machlokas. The Gemara then analyzes this, and the Gemara ends up telling us that there's going to end up being a difference between Daito Lachzor and Ein Daito Lachzor. And it's very simple. If you are visiting a place, and you do not plan on going home, you're visiting a place, but you're not visiting it. You are Holech to a place, that's your new location, that's it. You keep like the new place. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechorma. The Mishnah Berurah says this very clearly in Tof Samach Ches. Siftalid. The Mishnah Berurah says very clearly, and it comes out from the analysis of the Gemara, Tosfos points it out, if you're Ein Daito Lachzor to your original place, that's it. You keep like the new location. So if you decide to make Aliyah on Erev Sukkos, and you arrive in Eretz Yisrael on Erev Sukkos, you keep 1 day. Nothing to discuss. You're Ein Daito Lachzor. You're not planning on moving back. You moved to Eretz Yisrael. But if you're Daito Lachzor, so then, you keep your home custom. You're not really bound by the local custom. You just have to make sure not to do things in public, because it's going to cause machlokas. And that's why the Gemara tells us this story of Rabbi Bar Chana. He was eating this aitara, whatever, some type of cut of meat, that in his home location, they held it's mutter to eat it, In the new location, they held that it's usher to eat. So machlokes aposkim, is this meat allowed or not allowed? This certain cut, is this considered non-kosher fat or it's considered kosher fat? It was a piece of meat. So Rabbi Bar Chana's hometown, everybody ate it. He was visiting. They didn't eat it. So what does he do? So he ate it privately. He really is allowed to eat it. He's totally allowed to eat it. Oh, but the local minhag is not too. Very good. I'm not from the local place. Where I come from, you're allowed to eat it. So I'm allowed to eat it. But he ate it privately in order to not cause machlokas. So how do we apply this? So the Gemara applies it in a couple of ways. So the Gemara, for instance, talks about the case of Erev Pesach. If you come from a place where they do work on the morning of Erev Pesach, and you go to a location to visit, you're planning on going home, you go to a location to visit where they do not do malacha, so then you do not do malacha. You have to be machmir for the local location. You can't do work in public because they don't do work here. And you have to make sure. Really, Meikar Adin, you're allowed to do work. But because of machlokes, you don't do work. Then the Gemara, up until now, the sugya seemingly doesn't have so much to do with us, per se. But then the Gemara talks about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. The Gemara says, okay, what about Anan D'Yandina Mekfius of the Yacha? Rashi says that means, what about us who come from Eretz Yisrael and we know how to do malacha? I'm an Israeli and I am visiting Chutz Laretz and it's Yom Tov Sheni. What's the din? So the Gemara says that if you're in the Yishuv, meaning if you're within the Jewish community, and I'm from Eretz Yisrael and I'm visiting Hendon. So Hendon is the Jewish community. I'm there. So I'm not allowed to do work. I'm not allowed to do malacha. I'm not allowed to break yontiv on yontiv sheni. But if I'm not in the yishuv, if I'm in the midbar, if I'm in Derbyshire, up north in Derbyshire, where I visited once and visited a coal mine. So if I'm in Derbyshire, I'm allowed to do malacha on the second day. Why? Because there's no Jewish community here. I'm not in the... Because Meikar Adin, I'm Daito Lachser, Meikar Adin, I'm allowed to do malacha. There's no Yom Tov Sheni for me. Okay. Now, the Tosfos does bring a chumrah. Tosfos says that when it comes to malacha, meaning breaking yontiv, even bitsina, it's a problem. Even in private. Meaning, if I'm in a Hendon, I definitely can't do malacha in public because I'm in a Jewish community. So I'm not allowed to do malacha in public. What about to do malacha privately in my house, in the house that I'm staying? Okay, I'm staying by Judah, and I have my own room in Judah's house. So am I allowed to, you know, check my phone on the second day of Yontif? It's not Yontif for me. I'm from Eretz Yisrael, and I'm planning on going back. So Tosfos is machmir that even bitsina malacha is asur. Why? Tosfos has this line that there's no such thing as malacha in private. Which is exactly what he means by that. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion, the Taz and the Shulchan Aruch, this is a machlokas. So if Israelis, you have Israeli cousins who come to your house and they want to do malacha in private, so that seems to be a machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah isn't so excited about it. He says to Paschim like Tosfos, you shouldn't do malacha at all. I have to say, I've been, not so many times, but I've been a few times yontiv in Chutz Laretz since I moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I don't do malacha. I don't do malacha. When I'm, you know, in the Jewish community. But that would mean that if I, let's say I went to Chutz Laretz for Yontif, for Sukkot, and I didn't go to my parents' house. I went to I went with a bunch of Israelis, and we all went, and we rented a hotel in, you know, the middle of Arizona somewhere. We just took over a hotel, and we came with 100 Israelis, and we had one of these Pesach programs. So then we can't do malacha, because it's not a Jewish yishuv. It's only when you're amongst Jewish Yishuv that you're not allowed to do malacha. Because again, since you're Daito Lachzor, you follow your local practice. What was that? So, or even according to Tosas. He talks about that you can't do Bitsina. That's talking about in the Yishuv. Okay. No, we didn't hold the second day at all. We don't hold the second day. We're from Eretz Yisrael. We keep one day. When you're in the Yishuv. We're in the Yishuv, we don't keep a second day. Meaning, I didn't go to the Seder. And I didn't daven, yontiv davening, but I didn't do malach. Okay. There's a Rav Moshe has a tshuva about maybe lights are okay. I don't put on tefillin on Chol Hamoed, but on the last day, yeah. On the last day I put on tefillin, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, but so. Okay. Now, it's interesting. Who's considered Daito Lachzor? We keep saying someone who's Daito Lachzor. How do you define someone who's Daito Lachzor? So the Radvaz has a tshuva, and he says that if you travel to a far location away from your house, you're not Daito Lachzor. Why? Because it's not so easy to travel. You know, if you traveled someplace, you picked up your whole family, you traveled somewhere, you're not coming back. So someone asked Rav Moshe about this. He said that he and his wife, he got married, and he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a few years in Eretz Yisrael. And he rented or even bought an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. But he's planning on going back to Chutzlar. He was from America. He's planning on going back to America. So he asked Rav Moshe what to do. So Rav Moshe said, listen, I know there's this tshuva of the Radvaz, that if you travel someplace with your whole family, you're not considered a Daito Lachzor, even if you say you're going back. He says, but that was back then. Back then it was very hard to travel. So if you went to a new location, right, it's like all these people, you have all these... I don't know, you have the guys in Eretz Yisrael that like come to learn in Kolo, and then they say like, all right, I got a job as like, campus rabbi, or I got a job as something in America, I'm just going to go for like a year or two and come back. So a lot of times, they end up staying for 10 years, 15 years, they don't come back so fast. Because when you go with your whole family, so Moshe says, yeah, but that doesn't really apply so much nowadays. He says, back then it was impossible. You went with your family, you put your kids in schools, you set up shop, you're staying. And to travel was a big, you know, you had to get a horse and a buggy and a boat. And so nowadays, people go to Eretz Yisrael, you're there in 12 hours. And he's talking about from New York. And people, he said, people jump on planes like for a wedding, for a simcha. He says it doesn't seem to be so expensive for the people here in America. It's not a major expense to get on a plane and fly to America, to fly to Eretz Yisrael. He says, so I don't think you could say that, oh, a couple that's living in Eretz Yisrael, we will assume that they're not Daito Lachzor. He says it's really up to what your plan is. If your plan is to stay, so you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael. If your plan is to come back, so that's it, you're a Ben Chutz Laretz, and you keep 2 days. Parnassa. That was Ramosha. The Parnassa. The Mishnah Berurah discusses someone who travels with his family because he gets a job somewhere. And he doesn't have a job in his current location. And he gets a job in another city. And he says, yeah, I'm planning on going back. So there the Mishnah Berurah says, you're not considered planning on coming back. Because you don't have a job here. You got a job there. Right? You ask most people, who don't live in a major Jewish community, like, why do you live here? They say, yeah, we got a job here. And that's why they live there for 20 years, 30 years, because they got a job there. People need parnassa in order to live. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if you go to Eretz Yisrael, or you go to Chutz Laretz, and you say, oh, I'm planning on going back, but you moved for a job, and you brought your whole family, you're not going back. Or at least you're not considered going back. So there's a little bit of a discussion, that what I'm trying to bring up, is that there is a little bit of discussion of who's considered Daito Lachzor, and who's not considered Daito Lachzor. When I got married, we got married in Eretz Yisrael, my wife's from Eretz Yisrael, we got married in Eretz Yisrael, but then we went back to America, because I was finishing up Smicha and finishing up graduate school. So we went back for like half a year to finish up, and then we went to Eretz Yisrael. So we came to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the year, El. So that first sukkah, I wanted to know, what should I do? Now, what was my plan? I didn't come to Eretz Yisrael forever. At least I wasn't planning on it. I said, just got married, like to learn for a few years, like to live in Eretz Yisrael. My wife's from Eretz Yisrael. She would love to be in Eretz Yisrael with her family. So I said, we'll come for a year or two. I'll learn. We'll see what happens, you know. For sure, if something works out, if I get a job, if I figure it out, I'll stay. And if not, I can always go back to America and I'll get a job, I don't know, in high school or something. That was my plan. So I went to Rav Schechter and I asked Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter said, keep 1 day. So I said, why? He said, you're going to Eretz Yisrael indefinitely. You don't have a return ticket. You don't have plans to come back. That's number one. Number two, your wife's family's from Eretz Yisrael. So she obviously is going to want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And you would like to stay in Eretz Yisrael if things work out. He said, you should start keeping 1 day right away. So it was interesting. Right before that, for Pesach, we had gotten married Thanksgiving time, like November, for the Brits in the room. Got married Thanksgiving time, November. Then we went to America until the summer, and we went to Eretz Yisrael in the summer. So what about Pesach? Pesach, we were in Chutz Laretz. We were planning on going to Eretz Yisrael in the summer to move there. Schechter had already told me that for Sukkot I should keep 1 day. My wife has been keeping 1 day her whole life, but she's in Chutz Laretz now of Pesach, and she's Daito Lachzor. So what should be the din? What should be my din? you think, at this point. I'm still in Chutzarts. I haven't moved yet. 2 days. I'm living in Chutzarts. I still live in Chutzarts. I have never moved. I've been in Chutzarts for 23 years, 25 years. So of course I keep 2 days. What about my wife? She's been living in Eretz Yisrael for 22 years. And she's in Chutzarts now, but just for a few months, and she's Daito Lachzor.
She married you, no?
What?
She married someone.
Oh, so she should keep 1 day. But Rav Schachter said she should keep two because she's married to me. So since I'm keeping 2 days, I'm going to keep 2 days and she's going to keep 1 day? He said, that's crazy. He said, of course, she does what her husband does. So she kept, that was the only time in her life that she kept 2 days was that Pesach, I guess, I guess Shavuos also. Okay, so now let's talk about the hot topic, which is, so let's say you are a Ben Chutz Laretz who is traveling to Eretz Yisrael like you guys. You're in Eretz Yisrael for a year. You all, most of you I imagine, have return tickets, and you're all planning on going back to your home in Chutz Laretz. You're all planning on going home. So what's the din? Are you a Ben Eretz Yisrael? Are you a Ben Chutz Laretz? How many days do you keep? So it's all, it's pashit, it seems like, that in terms of the question of Daito Lachzor, in Daito Lachzor, I would imagine that 90% of you, 95% of you, are Daito Lachzor. You are planning on going back. You have a return ticket. You're probably, many of you, already enrolled in a university for when you're done with yeshiva, and if you plan on staying a second year, you're already enrolled someplace. You're planning on going. You're going back. Your parents definitely think you're going back. Okay? So you're Daito Lachzor. So what's the din? Interestingly, you open the Shulchan Aruch, you flip through, or let's talk about a much more controversial, it's not really controversial, but people think it's controversial. You're a family, you live in the United States, you come with your family for Sukkot, for Yom Tov. You're clearly Daito Lachzor. You're there with your 5 kids, you're staying in a hotel, and you're planning on going, you rent an apartment, and you're going back. You're clearly Daito Lachzor. What's the din? So, from the Gemara that we just read, Psachim, it seems pretty clear, if you're Daito Lachzor, you obviously keep the halachas of where you came from. So it's Pashit, you keep 2 days. Now interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss this case. He discusses a Ben Eretz Yisrael that travels to Chutz Laretz, but he doesn't discuss Ben Chutz Laretz who comes to Eretz Yisrael. Why not? Now when something's, either he's not saying anything because it's controversial, he doesn't want to say, or he doesn't say anything because it's overly Pashit, why, what the din is. He already told you that a Ben Eretz Yisrael who goes to Chutz Laretz really only has to keep 1 day, just not in public. So it's obvious that the other way should also be true. You're a Ben Chutz Laretz and you go to Eretz Yisrael, so you keep 2 days. He already told you the halacha. He doesn't need to tell you this halacha. He already told you Ben Eretz Yisrael goes to Chutz Laretz, keeps his current practice. So it should be the other way. But he doesn't discuss it in Shulchan Aruch, which is interesting. But where does he discuss it? In his tshuvas. And I don't know if any of you have the Makoro sheet here, but I want to show you something about the tshuva. In the tshuva, the Beis Yosef says like 4 or 5 times that it is absolutely... Well, let me read it to you. Listen to what he says. Tshuva. He wants to know about davening. Yes. So he says like this. Dover Poshet Hu. Dekol Shadaito Lachzor is Noe Kamakom Sheyatza Misham. It's absolutely Pashat that anyone, this is in the Shut Evkas Rochel, it's Pashat that anyone who is Daito Lachzor goes like the place that he left from. Afiul Lahakel. Ubilvach, Lo Yasim, if Nebene Makom, as long as you don't do it in public. And he quotes the story about eating the Daitisa. Umivuar, I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines in. Vikevan shekein hadavar pashit. That's the second time. Umivuar shliolam kol shadaito lachzor anurom oso kiilu adayim b'makom shiatsa misham. That anyone who's planning on going back is considered like we look at him as if he's from L.A. and he's in Eretz Yisrael. He's staying in the plaza. He's staying in the what's that nice place the. What's the one? The right across from there? The Waldorf. He's staying in the Waldorf. But he's from L.A. And he's staying... What? I started the plaza, but then he's from L.A., so he's probably not staying in the plaza, you know. So, you're in the Waldorf. You're staying in the Waldorf for Yontif. You're Daito Lachzor. What does he say in the Avkas Rochel? Dover Poshet. That we see him as if he's still in L.A. He's on Pico. Even though he's in the hotel and he's in Eretz Yisrael, we look at him as if he's still in L.A. And Lechol Dover. Ubilvad, Shiasa Betzino. Just make sure. So for davening, you need to daven Yontif davening. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Yontif anymore. It's the first day of Chol HaMoed. So you daven Betzino. Pshita upshita. That's number 3 and 4. Denoe kemakom sheyatza misham. Kevin Jadaito Lachsor. Vized Dover Poshet. That's number 5. Lo niten lekasev. I don't even need to write it. Lo utsem pshituso, because it's so obvious. So 6 times. The Beis Yosef writes in his tshuva that it is absolutely obvious and poshet that you keep like the place that you came from. He goes, now wait a second. How come they're davening in public then? How come if you go into the inbal on the second day of Yontif, there's going to be this big chutznik minion. They're going to be like raffling off and have a kiddush. And there's this big chutznik minion with all the chutznikim being all proud that they're keeping a second day. And they're having they're raffling off the aliyahs and... How can they do that in public like that? So he says a very interesting thing. He says that it must be that this whole din of machlokas never applied to davening. The whole idea of machlokas is that if you start doing malacha, people are starting to say, like, well, how can you do that? People are going to think that you're allowed to do malacha on yontiv. But davening is not what they were talking about in the Gemara when they said it's going to cause machlokas. That's the svara that he suggests, because he admits that there's a very long-standing minog that when Jews came to Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, they davened publicly for Yontif even on the second day. Right? People say, oh, it's an affront to Eretz Yisrael. How can you be davening a Yontif davening on Chol HaMoed? But you see from the Beis Yosef, who lived in Tzfat, that was the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, that they had a minhag that they did that. Now, the one who argues with the Beis Yosef is the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was a Rav in Germany. His name was Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. He was the Rav in the communities called Ahu, which is a Aleph, Hey, Vav. It's Altoona, Hamburg, and something else. It was 3 big cities in Germany that were right next to each other, like probably like all on a river. And he was the Rav. It was a very, very choshev and very, very old city. And he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chacham Tzvi has a very fascinating and even very cogent argument. The Chacham Tzvi argues as follows. He says, first of all, the idea that when you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're a Ben Chutz Laretz, that you should be davening on the second day, Yontif davenings, he says, that I don't understand at all. The Gemara in Pesachim is talking about keeping your chumras in the new location. He says, davening a Yontif davening on the second day is not a chumrah. You might think it is because, oh, we have to stay in shul longer. But it's not a chumrah. He said, if anything, it's a kula. You're saying brachos, and you're saying things, you're making kiddush, and you're doing all of these things that you're not really allowed to do al pi halacha. It's a bracha levatala. Why is that a chumrah to make a bracha levatala? He said, so davening in brachos, that's not a chumrah. That the Gemara in Pesachim is talking about keeping a chumrah when, you know, in the new location. You know, keeping your chumras from back home. He says, that's number one. Number two, and this is a very fascinating argument, he says, when it comes to malacha, you don't keep the chumrah of your home location if your home location would also not keep the chumrah if they moved to the place that you're visiting. Meaning, let's take the case of the Da'atayra. So there was a machlokas about a certain cut of meat. The people in Chutz Laretz, let's say, location A, they ate it. Now we're in location B, where they don't eat it. Let's say all those people move to location B. Would there be any reason why they couldn't continue their practice of eating it? Of course they could keep eating it. They hold you can eat it. Here they hold you can't eat it. If they all moved here, they would still hold that you can eat it. Because what does the location have to do with eating the piece of meat? He says, but when it comes to keeping 1 day or 2 days, if your whole home location, right, you're from New Jersey and you're visiting Eretz Yisrael, if all the people from your town in New Jersey were here with you in Eretz Yisrael and they moved here, they would also keep 1 day. Maybe the way to say it is like this. This is the way I say it. He doesn't say it like this, but I think this is what he's saying. In Tinek, you also have a minug that B'nai Eretz Yisrael keep 1 day. If you ask a guy in Tinek, what's your minug about 1 day, 2 days? His answer, if he's like a lamdan, will be, people who live in Tinek keep 2 days. But my minog is that people who live in Eretz Yisrael, I hold that people who live in Eretz Yisrael keep 1 day. And therefore, if we all moved to Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't keep keeping 2 days. We would start keeping 1 day. Because I by ikar hold that people who live in Eretz Yisrael keep 1 day. He said, so now you're from Eretz Yisrael, from Tina. You come to Eretz Yisrael. Now you're in Eretz Yisrael for Yontif. Now, you have to hold your home minhag. But your home minhag is that people in Eretz Yisrael keep 1 day. And if all those people came to Eretz Yisrael, they would also keep 1 day. They wouldn't be standing there saying, like, we're moving to Eretz Yisrael, but we're keeping 2 days, because in Tinek we kept 2 days. No, they all hold that if you move to Eretz Yisrael. He said, therefore, it's totally different than the Sugi and Pesachim. Sugi and Pesachim is talking about things that have nothing to do with location, like meat. This meat, is it allowed to be eaten? Is it not allowed to be eaten? So now that you move to Eretz Yisrael, that's not going to change your shita on the meat. And therefore, he thought that it's a davar pashut, that if you come to Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day. Again, not because when in Rome, do like the Romans. Not because, oh, come on, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, so of course I'll keep 1 day. What, I'm going to be different than everyone else here? This is ridiculous. I'm sitting in my house and everyone else is talking on the phone. This is so dumb. I'm keeping 1 day. None of these svaras that people varf is what the Chassam Sofer is saying. The Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi is making an argument that keeping 1 day is very different, because it's not just, well, I'm here, and this is what everyone else is doing, so I'm not doing something different than them.
Well, no.
Well, when in Rome, do like the Romans means, I'm not doing different than what everyone else around me is doing. If these people are Mekel on Chal Yisrael, I'm going to be Mekel on Chal Yisrael. Why should I be different than everybody else? That's not what the Chacham Tzvi is saying. The Chacham Tzvi is saying that the specific sugya of Pesachim about keeping the minug of the place where you're coming from doesn't apply when the minug is a function of location. Okay, that was the Chacham Tzvi. Now, nobody should say that the Chacham Tzvi doesn't make any sense. Chas v'shalom. It's a very good argument. It's logical. The question is, how do we pask it? That's the question. How do we pask it? So, if you look at Rav Yaakov Emden was the Chacham Tzvi's son. So, he writes it in a very funny way. He writes, I don't agree with my father, but I don't want to I don't want to argue with my father, but I don't agree with him. That's it's like a sandwich. I don't agree with him, I'm not going to argue with him, but I don't agree with him. Rav Yoshev thought that this was very, very significant, that his own son didn't even accept. He sort of took over as the Rav. He had a very tumultuous life, and he was a Rav in a couple of different cities. He actually was not offered the position to be the Rav in the same city after his father passed away, but if I remember correctly. But Lamaisa, he didn't accept it, and because of that, Rav Yoshev thought you can't even use it as a snif lahakel, meaning you can't even use this shita and combine it with other things in order to build a mekel case to keep 1 day. He thought it was completely rejected lahalacha. However, not everybody said that way. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, who wrote a very important sefer on halacha Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he holds like the Chacham Tzvi. You keep 1 day. That's why Chabad spirits keep 1 day when they come to Eretz Yisrael, because that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. If you look at the majority of poskim throughout the generations, though, for instance, the Pas HaShulchan. The Pas HaShulchan was a Talmud of the Gra, and he was one of the first miyastim, ones who established the Ashkenazic community in Eretz Yisrael. They paskin that you keep 2 days. Certainly, if you look at the recent poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan, that's the Pas HaShulchan. He paskins a lot of things up for halachos in Eretz Yisrael because he was a Talmud of the Gra who came, right? You know that the first aliyah to Eretz Yisrael was not secular Zionists. The first aliyah to Eretz Yisrael were the Talmidei HaGra, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. It was Litvish and Hasidish people were the first people who made aliyah. So when they came, they had to establish the halacha here. They had a paskin and all these shilas that didn't apply in chutzlaretz, like mitzvos atlios baretz, shmita and trumos and maestros. So the Pas HaShulchan is a major sefer for these types of issues, and he paskined that you keep 2 days. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Brura, Rav Moshe Feinstein, all paskin that you keep 2 days. I think many people, in general, if you don't have a specific psak from a rav in areas of halacha, you go with the Mishnah Brura. Other people will argue and say you go with the Aruch HaShulchan. Those were the two main voices in Europe before the Holocaust in terms of what is normative halacha with the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishneh Berurah, and both of them paskin to keep 2 days. Now, there is a shita, so let's just talk very practical. Let's talk, and Rav Moshe Feinstein also said you keep 2 days. Basically, all of the major poskim in the past 300-400 years said you keep 2 days, except for Chabad. And again, there was the Shita of the Chacham Tzvi, but it wasn't really accepted lahalacha throughout the generations. Now, there was another Shita of Rav Salant, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim, and he paskened the day and a half. Now, what is day and a half? Day and a half is really paskening like the Chacham Tzvi. What does that mean? In the Sefer of Rav Tukachinsky, his family is the one who puts out, he originally put it out, the Luach for Eretz Yisrael every year. So Rav Tukachinsky in his Sefer, amazing Sefer on lots of halachos having to do with Eretz Yisrael, Ha'ir HaMikdash, something along those lines. So he, Ha'ir HaAretz HaMikdash, something like that. So he writes in there, you have it there, Ha'ir HaMikdash V'ha, Sefer Ha'ir HaMikdash V'HaKadosh, what is it? Okay. So in his Sefer, he writes that Rav Salant, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, agreed with the position of the Chacham Tzvi, but out of and I think this is a very important point, but out of respect for what was the normative psak in all the generations, he didn't feel it was appropriate to paskin against everybody and go with the Chacham Tzvi. And therefore, he said to do a day and a half. What does a day and a half mean? Day and a half means that you respect the psak that was throughout all the generations. So for 2 days, you don't do malacha. You don't break yontif. But you don't make kiddush. You don't be mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin, I believe he writes. Anything which ends up being a kula, like making brachos levatala, quote unquote, you don't do. So you don't make kiddush. You don't have a second seder on the second night of Pesach. But you definitely don't do malacha. So it's being machmir for the accepted psak, but also being machmir for the Chacham Tzvi, meaning being choshesh that the Chacham Tzvi is really right, and therefore not having a second seder, and not making brachas, and not making kiddush again, and not davening a yontiv davening. So that's why we call it a day and a half. It doesn't mean like you go until chatzos, and then that's it, it's over. It means that you do half and half. So that shita of Salant really is accepting the Chacham Tzvi, but what's so important is you see his absolute kavod for the tradition of Psak. And even though he himself was a tremendous posek, he wasn't willing to be makel against what was always the traditional Psak. Now, what's the reason that nowadays a lot of people do keep 1 day? This is a fairly recent phenomenon, really only 20, 30 years, that non-Chabadskers keep 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not getting into anyone's personal decisions of why they do it. There were a few Rabbanim in America who said that Rav Soloveitchik paskind like the Chacham Tzvi. Now, there are different versions of what exactly Rav Soloveitchik said. There was the Masorah Journal, has one version of what he said. There's Nefesh HaRav, has a different version of what he said. I gave you Rav Schechter. There's an article in English from Rav Schechter about what should be done, where he has a slightly different version of a way of doing a day and a half of sorts. Some call it 2.5 days, whatever. It's like a cute little name for it. But it has become much more popular in recent years to keep a day. Now, some of them, I would say like this, and I'm not here to like attack anybody. I would say like this: if your family has a Rav who's a Talmud Chacham, and he's a posek, and he paskins a certain way, and you ask your shailas to him, shailas, meaning you go to him with your shailas, and he tells you to keep 1 day, so that's our job. Our job is to go to our Rav and ask our Rav, what's the right psak? But if you don't have a Rav that paskin that way, and you are trying to figure out for your own, meaning you guys, your families might come, and your family made a decision about 1 day versus 2 days. You should do what your families do. When you live in someone's house, you do the halacha based on, again, if your parents don't follow halacha, so that's something else. But if your parents follow halacha, and they got a psak, whatever they did it, that's not your business. I'm sorry, asking, like, oh, wait a second. Who did you ask, and how did you ask it, and do you really ask him other shilas? That's not your business. If your parents paskin that way, you do what your parents do. But when you have your own home, or when you're on your own in Eretz Yisrael, so if you're asking my opinion, so I would say that you should do what the standard psak is, and which has always been, which has been 2 days. Now, there are one or two interesting things. There's something that people like to talk about if you own an apartment in Yerushalayim, or in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe you can keep 1 day. So there was a posek that said that if you come to Eretz Yisrael for 6 months a year, then that's okay. Meaning, let's say someone lives half the year in Eretz Yisrael and half the year in Chutz La'aretz. So they've been Eretz Yisrael, they've been Chutz La'aretz. It's like an interesting question, right? So in America, you have a lot of people who like live half the year in Florida, half the year in New York. So what are they? Are they New York citizens, residents, or are they Florida citizens? So what's the answer? So it depends. Like wherever, if there's less taxes in Florida, they make their residency in Florida. And if there's more less taxes in New York, and if it's easier to get a license, they do. They pick. So here, what's the halacha? So Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva where Shlomo Zalman says that if you come to Eretz Yisrael for all shalosh regalim, shalosh by the way is three. If you come to Eretz Yisrael for all shalosh regalim, so then this whole halacha is about what's your status for the shalosh regalim. That's what this halacha is about. So then he says you can keep 1 day. But he's very careful to say three. So there are a lot of people who come for Sukkot. There are a lot of people that come for Pesach. There are a lot of people that come for Sukkot and Pesach. There aren't so many people that come for Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos. So there's Rav Malamed, the Pnine Halacha. I think he quotes a shita from someone that if you own real estate and you come sometimes, maybe there's room to be Mekil. So again, these are the standard psak is definitely to keep 2 days. That is definitely the normative psak. Again, for yourself, I'm not talking about your families. Your family's cheshbon is not my business or your business. But for yourself, if you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, you want to keep 1 day. So you have to figure out, like, why do you want to keep 1 day? You know, if you're complaining in Chutz La'aretz that, ugh, Yantif is so long, it's 2 days. So you're probably going to complain in Eretz Yisrael also and want to keep 1 day. If you enjoy 2 days of Yantif in Chutz La'aretz, so you'll probably enjoy 2 days of Yantif in Chutz in Eretz Yisrael. Is it a little bit strange that like everyone else is doing malacha and you're not doing malacha? Yeah, it is strange. So make aliyah. You don't have to live in a strange existence.
Wow.
But that's that. Now there is one last thing that people sometimes quote, that yeshiva bachrim. There's a tshuva from Rav Ovadia that yeshiva bachrim only have to keep 1 day. So if you read the tshuva inside and you read his reasons, you have to figure out if this reason applies to you. Rav Ovadia says that yeshiva bachrim come to Eretz Yisrael. They learn yeshiva for like 3, 4, 5 years. They end up getting set up with a girl from Eretz Yisrael, they end up getting married and staying. So it's poshut. If you're a yeshiva bachur from America and you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're not daita lach. You're going to probably end up marrying a girl here and staying and learning in kol for like 10 years and staying. So you have to figure out if that applies to you, right? If you're staying for a year or two, and then you know you have like your college is set up and you're going and you were early decision and your parents would come here and fly and drag you onto the, so you're not staying. If in a chanami, if you're coming and you're saying like, you know what, it's open ended, I'm definitely staying for 2 years, maybe even 3 years. I would love to date here and find a girl and stay here forever. And that's already a whole different story. That may be already Rav Ovadia. There's room to say that you should keep 1 day. But people who are daito lachzor, the standard psak, again, unless you have a psak from a rav, the standard psak is that you should keep 2 days. And the last thing I will add is that here in the yeshiva, the minog and the psak of the yeshiva is that people who are staying in yeshiva keep 2 days. So if your family minog is to keep 1 day and you want to keep 1 day, so then you should probably don't stay in. Because if you stay in, certainly, and even if you say, I want to come in and I want to go for the first day of Simchas Torah, but then the second day I'm going to bust out of here, but first I'm going to come to the base medrash and take pictures and videos of all the guys, that for sure you shouldn't do. Okay. Everyone have a great day. What was that?